are the boundaries of Mecca. So no one crosses these places or anything parallel. So many people think that only if you come across this place. No. Even if you come parallel, you will have to يعني come into the state of Ihram. جابر رضي الله عنه said, فخرج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم in 5 days remaining from the Qa'da. Also, and he got his hadi with him. Hadi means the animal that you are going to slaughter in Mecca for Hajj. But his hadi was only camels. And it is allowed to ride on the camel if it is going to be for hadi. So Jabir said, so we all left Medina with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam along with our families, women and children, up until we reached Dhul Hulayfa. At that time, none of these mawaqit sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them. But before that time, there was no place for ihram. You can do ihram from your house and go. But at that year, he ﷺ designated these mawaqit for people to perform ihram from there. And that is to make it easy for them. Now, as he said, up until we reached Dhul Hulayfa, when Asma bint Umayyis. Asma bint Umayyis was the wife of who? No, before that. Before Abu Bakr. She was the wife of Ja'far ibn Abi Talib. When Ja'far ibn Abi Talib was killed in the battle of Mu'ta, Abu Bakr Siddiq married her. For what? To adopt the children. Not, the word adopt does not necessarily mean to give them your name, but to give them care, to take care of them. And this is very important today. So many people die, so many Muslims die in car accidents and whatsoever, and illnesses, and their families remain with no care, with no water. And that is wrong. We Muslim men have to maintain that. But as I said in many occasions, that the brothers should not only think of their entertainment and enjoyment and this and that, no, but to think of the responsibility. Think of the responsibility that you have to carry. Not only marriage to marry and that's it. No, but you give time to them. You maintain them. That are so many people do today. They want polygamy, but it's a game, it's a kidding. They just jump here and there and they don't take care and they don't care of anybody. Now you will know, you will have to know that you will have to double your duty. Meaning, if you with one family work 8 hours, you will then have to work 12 hours to maintain 2 families. Not to ask your wife to go and work and you sit home. Not to ask her to go and register in the government for the welfare as she is single and lying. All this is wrong. And better not to marry again and again than to do like this. And when I say better, it does not mean to encourage you not to marry. No, I encourage you to marry. To take care of the other families, the orphans, the widows, especially there in the West, who take care of them. We'll take care of them. Now, and we have to sacrifice. all the companions, all the Sahaba, beginning from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He did so. Only Aisha was virgin. Other than Aisha, were all either widows or divorced, or old women. Our woman has no one like Safiya bint Ibn Akhtab, a Jew who her husband, father, uncle, brother were killed in the battle. So she was alone. He said, if you would, I marry you. And if you like to go back to your people, I let you go. She said, no, I want to be with you. So he married her to give her a shelter. And then everybody respected her because she's the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Although they used to respect every woman, but they gave her more respect because she became the mother of the believers. So I mean, when you think of polygamy, think of like this. And before you go for polygamy, make a name for you among the... If you are a disrespectful person, I don't encourage you. I don't encourage you to go. I don't encourage you to go and marry again and again. Because this disrespect that you earn because of your aggression, because of your arrogance, ignorance, this will extend to your family. They're going to be accused. So better not to marry another woman. First of all, build up your name in the community. Let people respect you. Be honest. Be nice. Be real Muslim. Let people trust you. Then go and marry. But what I see is a kind of corruption. Now, anyway, Asma bint Umayyah, she gave birth of the first baby from Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Her first baby was Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr. Where was that? In the Hulayfa. Now, think of this. A woman who is pregnant, and she's in the last days of her pregnancy. She is expecting to give birth any moment. But yet she insisted to go. And look, to her husband, Abu Bakr. He did not say, no. You're going to give me bad headache. Stay home. He did not say so. He allowed her to come. And when she gave birth in the Hulayfa, she sent to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She did not ask permission to go back to Medina, but she asked, what is the way, what to do, so I continue my journey to Hajj. And today, many people just want to show themselves that they have done something. That's wrong. So Jabir says, she sent to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what should I do? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her, take a shower and put a preventer of the blood and then declare your ihram, declare your hajj. Say labbaik Allahumma hajjal, or whatsoever hajj you choose. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed no masjid at that time. But when Jabir was reporting this hadith, there was already a masjid there. Why? Because at that time, it was only desert. All these, the prescribed stations, there were no masjids. But when he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam designated them for hujjaj, so people built up masajid after them. So he prayed there. He said he prayed silent. What does that mean? He did not say nothing before or after. And this prayer was obligatory prayer. It was Zuhr and Asr. Joined together. Combined together at a time of either one. He did not pray any prayer for Ihram. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got on his Kamal al-Qaswa and move. When al-Qaswa took the way to Mecca, started going on the way of Mecca, on the way to Mecca, then he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, declared his Hajj. He named his Hajj loudly. He said, Labbaik Allahumma Hajja. Everyone else declared the same. Jabir radiallahu anhu said, and I looked to the end of my vision, and I saw people in front of Rasulullah, to the right side, to the left side, to the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he was surrounded by so many people. It was said in another narration that there were more than 100,000 people who came for Hajj with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jabir said, Aisha radiallahu anha was the only one who came with Umrah. Was the only one who came with the intention of Umrah. What does that mean? I mean that it is permissible for one to come with Umrah. The people, like the Hanafi, believe that there is no Umrah during the month of Hajj. That is wrong. The Aisha came with the intention of Umrah. She was with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Up until they reached a place called Tarif, nearby Asfar. There, she got the message. And when they came to Mecca, it was already the 4th of Dhul Hijjah. So they left there the 5th or the 4th, and they reached, the 24th or the 26th or 25th of the Qa'da, and they reach the 4th. Look to this journey. 7 or 8 days walking, most of them, and some of them on camel, and don't think that camel, riding on camel, is something comfortable. But today's people are in a very comfortable coaches, yet they think, we go, we don't go. SubhanAllah. He said that when we came to Mecca, we came by the Duha time, meaning just after the sunrise, and then he came to the gate of the Masjid, Al-Haram, and he had come off his camel and stopped the camel by the gate and entered the Masjid. And directly went to the black stone, kissed it, and then he walked, making the Kaaba on his left hand side. And he did Ramal for the first 3 circles. And Ramal means to walk, not to run, not to jump, but walk, fast walk. And this can be by making steps closer. By making the steps closer and walk fast. That is called Ramal. The reason why he did Ramal and he commanded the Sahaba to do the Ramal, and it was the first time had done Ramal around the Kaaba. And this was because the people of Mecca, Kufar, Lord Muhammad and his people, came to you now very tired because of the fever of Medina. Isa sallam told the people, told the Hujjaj to do Ramal for the 3 first rounds, so they will see that we are strong. From then it became a sunnah. Not wajib, but it is sunnah. For men, in only 2 kinds of tawaf. Tawaf of Umrah, any time in the year, and tawaf of Qudum, the first tawaf you do with the sunnah, it is not wajib. And then he walked normal walk on the last four rounds. And after that, when he finished that, he came to Maqam Ibrahim. And he recited this ayah, وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُصَلَّى. And he raised his voice, making people to hear. Now, you do not raise your voice making people to hear because you are not a scholar. This would be only for the scholars. So people to follow. They think that this is the way you do it. But Rasulullah ﷺ raised his voice so they know what to say. That's it. So he then prayed two rak'ah between him and the Kaaba. And then he recited after Fatiha in the first rak'ah, قُلُوا اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. In the second rak'ah, قُلُوا يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. In some narrations, it was the opposite. Some ulama said these were two different incidents. So you can't recite either one. And he raised his voice, and then he moved to Zamzam. There is no dua in that place. No dua. Neither before the two rak'ah, nor after that. Dead, and then he returned back to the black stone and kissed it. Today it is not possible. Not possible for the first time when you came, when you arrived, and it is not possible when you finish your prayer. It is not possible to go and kiss the black stone. No. So he just leave it. Then he left the area of Tawab, going to the Sa'i, and he came out of the gate called As-Safa, Babu As-Safa, which takes you to the mountain of As-Safa. And when he came to the mountain, close to the mountain, he recited, إِنَّ الصَّفَى وَالْمَرْوَةَ مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ. This ayah is only to be recited once in the whole time. It's not to be repeated. Only once. And then he said, I began my sa'i from the place where Allah Ta'ala began in the ayah. Began mentioning in the ayah. إِنَّ الصَّفَى وَالْمَرْوَى. So what was mentioned first? الصَّفَى. So he says, I began my sa'i from الصَّفَى. So this is the reason why he recited this ayah only at this time. Not at the beginning of every round of a sa'i. No, that is wrong. Only one time, that's it. And then he said, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت وهو على كل شيء لا إله إلا الله وحده أنجز وعده وهزم وأنجز وعده ونصر عبده وهزم الأحزاب وحده. And then he raised his hands, both hands. This is the only time where you raise your hand in the sa'i, not in the takbir. But when you make dua, so he raised his hand and he made dua, long dua, and he repeated this three times. So he then came down of the mountain and walked until he came to the valley. In between the two green signs, there is a valley. This valley, Rasulullah ﷺ crossed it very fast, running. So the men would run in this place. Women, no, just walk normal. And when he crossed it, he walked back again normal. Up until he came to the mountain of Al-Marwa. He climbed it looked towards the Kaaba, he did the same thing as what he did on the mountain of As-Safa. Up until it was the last round of Sa'i for him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stood on the mountain of Al-Marwa and he gave the Sahaba a sermon, saying, "O people, if I would have known what is going to be told to me," meaning the revelation, "I would not have brought my hadi with me. And I would have made this tawab and sa'i for umrah." So any one of you, or every one of you, so every one of you did not bring his hadi with him, he then should now come out of his ihram state and make this tawab and sa'i for umrah of tamattu, of course. He then, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said to them, "Become halal," meaning come out of your ihram state and become normal. And then he commanded them, meaning the remaining ones who did not do tawab and sa'i, "Do tawaf around the Kaaba, do sa'i between the Safa and Marwa, and cut off your hair and be halal all the time. Up until it is the day of At-Tarwiyah, and that is the 8th of Dhul Hijjah." There is a reason for it being called At-Tarwiyah. At-Tarwiyah means to kill thirst, to become unthirsty. And it means that the people at that time, on this day, they used to deliver the water to Mina and Arafah for them to stay in the coming days there. But there is no water at that time in Mina and Arafah. So it is called Yawm At-Tarwiyah. He said, "When it is the day of At-Tarwiyah, then declare your Hajj and make what you came with," meaning the tawab and sa'i that earlier done, "make it as a umrah, as a mut'ah." Mut'ah does not mean the mut'ah of the rawafid. Mut'ah here means tamattu. So that at that time, Surata ibn Malik ibn Ju'shab radiallahu anhu stood from the bottom of the Marwa. And he said, "Ya Rasulullah, is this umrah? See this umrah. Is it for this year or forever?" He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then joined between the fingers of his two hands, and he said, "No, but forever. The umrah has entered into the hajj like this forever." And he repeated that three times. The ulama have different explanation for this. The best of what we see is that Suraqa is asking, is this umrah enough, or is it still obligatory upon us to do umrah every year? He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, "No, it is enough. This hajj is enough. This umrah is enough. Forever, khalas. It is not obligatory upon you to return back for umrah, but it is optional." Some other ulama understood from it that hajj and umrah must be together, whether tamattu or qiran. Qiran for the one who brings his hadi, otherwise it is tamattu, and no more ifrat. But this understanding is not the proper one. How come we know that? From what Abu Bakr has done, Umar, and most of the time of Uthman, radiallahu anhu, and Ali as well, all of his life. They used to do ifrat, hajj ifrat. Hajj ifrat. Why? Because for them, it was easy to come for Umrah every year and every time. That is a proper explanation. Now, Suraqa ibn Malik said, "O Messenger of Allah, explain our religion for us as if we are just being created today. Why we do the worship? Is it for something already written, and destiny was played with it or came with it, or it is something that just happened in the future. He said, no, it is not something happened by accident. It is something written, and the destiny is already set up with it. So Suraqa said, then if it is already written, why should we do? And why should we do these worships? He said, do as every one of you will be. Gib'al Anu said, we've been commanded to become halal, meaning out of the state of haram. And after that, we can slaughter our hadi. Even 7 of us can join in 1 cow or camel. Badala. Some people now understand that if it is 6, they cannot slaughter camel or cow. If they are only 5, they cannot. No, that is wrong. What is the proof, ya ikhwan? Isa said, or as Jabir said, we were told that 7 of us will join in 1 badana. Badana means cow or camel. But we say that it is not obligatory to be 7. It can't be less than 7. What is the proof? No? Okay, the Prophet ﷺ slaughtered, he himself alone, 1 camel. No one shared it with him. Not only 1, more than 1. 100 couples. Yes, he made Ali to share maybe 1. It is permissible for 1 to slaughter 1 camel or more than 1 camel. And for 7 to slaughter 1 camel. No problem. Now, and then he said, and whoever does not have ability to slaughter camel, meaning money, to buy a hadi, whether a sheep, goat, or a cow, or camel, then let him to fast 3 days in Hajj, and 7 when he goes back to his family, or to his town. Jabir said, we said, Ya Rasulullah, what kind of hell? We come out of the state of Iran. How? What do you mean by that? Is it life when we're not in the haram? Is it like before we become in a haram state? Isa said, Al-Hillu Kullu, all of it, as you were in your place, in your time. Jabir said, we could not, understand it. He said, our chests were narrow with that. It does not mean that they rejected, but it means that they thought that he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is finding it difficult for them to remain in the state of Iraq, so he wants to make it easy for them. That's what they thought. They did not think that it is better in religion. They thought that what he is doing, staying in the state of haram, is better, but he is making it easy for them. So, Jabir said, we went at night, the young men, went all together to the place called Al-Batha. Al-Batha is on the way when you come out of haram going to Mina, towards Azizia. It was place where smooth soil and sand there. So they used to go and sit there. When they were there, they said, he said that one of us was telling the other, everyone, today is when I enjoyed my family. Today, so they said, we have discussed this matter. And we said, we came out of Medina with the intention of Hajj, only Hajj. So when we were only about four days from Arafah, 4 or 5 days or nights from Arafah, we were commanded to go and enjoy our family. So we come to Arafah with. Then they said, surprising, how come we make it Mut'ah? How come we make it Umrah? And we have already declared that it is only Hajj. And this means that if one came with the Hajj Ifrad or Hajj Qiran, he can change it to Tamattu. He can. He can. Even after he performed Tawaf and Sa'i, which is for Qudum. Because they performed Tawaf and Sa'i with the intention for Hajj, Qudum. And after that, he saw a Salam said to them, make it for Umrah. So it does not necessarily to have the intention only before. Now even if after, you still can change. So, this what happened in Al-Fatha between these young Sahaba reached the ear of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Jabir is saying that I don't know how. Is it the revelation or someone raised it to him? So he saw Sallam gathered them all, and this time was angry. And he praised Allah Ta'ala and supplicated and glorified him. And then he said to them, do you want to teach me about Allah? Do you want to tell me what I don't know about Allah? All people, you all know that I'm the most who fear Allah amongst you all. I'm the one who fear Allah the most amongst you all. And I'm the most honest one amongst you all. And I'm the most pious one amongst you all. And I'm commanding you all now, come out of your ihram. And if it is not that I have brought my hadi with me, I would have came out of my ihram like what you did. But nothing of which become haram for me because of the ihram, nothing of that can be halal for me until my hadi reach its destination. Meaning, until it is slaughtered. And this means, the tahallul, or to become out of the ihram, the major tahallul, meaning to become totally halal, out of the ihram completely, cannot be up until you slaughter your hadi. Even if you delay, you still can delay slaughtering to the 11th, 12th, 13th, until before sunset. But all this time, you cannot enjoy your family. You cannot. Because you are only partially halal. Not completely halal. Now, so he said, and then we become convenient and enjoyed our family and we obeyed Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It does not mean that they did not used to obey him. But it means that, as I told you, so he said, everyone became halal except for those who brought with them their hadith. It was only Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and some of you Sahaba. He named them, he said, Talha ibn Ubayha. That is the only one who came from Medina with Rasulullah with Hajj. That means Abu Bakr became halal, Umar became halal, Uthman became halal, all of them. Except for him, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Talha ibn Ubaydillah, and Ali ibn Abi Talib when he came from Yemen with the camels. Now, he asked him, he asked Ali, later on. So Ali came and found Fatima radiallahu anha become halal. She had she loosened her hair, braid, and she used the perfume. Ali was nervous of that, and she used the kuhl. He asked her, "Who told you to do this?" She said, "My father told me, commanded me to do this." Jabir said, so Ali in Iraq, when he settled in Iraq at the time of his khilafah, he said to the people, "I did go to Rasulullah ﷺ immediately, encouraging him against Fatima, trying to make him command her to come back to the state of Iran." Look, he is the husband of Fatima. He did not go to Rasulullah ﷺ and say, "Ya Rasulullah, you encouraged, you allowed Fatima, allow me, so he can enjoy his family." He did not do that. So many people today play games in their worship. They play games. Wallahi. They think that they are clever, and they trick themselves. And they still think that they are clever. So, as I said, some people today, they think that they are clever and they trick. And they always look for the easiest way. The easiest way. And they say, "Khalas, we can slaughter." I told you the story of those rich people who were in Hajj, and on the 11th, I and Mustafa al-Hadi, we visited them, and they asked Sheikh Mustafa if they can just leave Mina now and go back. He said to them, "No, you can't. No, you can't. It is still 11. Tomorrow, after the Dhuhr time, you can stone and go, no problem." They said, no. "We have commitments back home and we want to go now." He said, "No, you can't." They said, "Oh, we have enough money to slaughter, no problem. We will slaughter kafara. Not only one, two, three, no problem." SubhanAllah. See, look, people, how they just want to turn the worship as something, kidding and playing. Anyway, Ali radiallahu anhu said that he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asking him about what he heard from Fatima. And he said to him, "She said that you commanded her." He said, "Sadaqat, sadaqat, sadaqat." 3 times. He repeated it 3 times. "She told you the truth, she told you the truth, she told you the truth. I am the one who commanded her to do so." Jabir radiallahu anhu said, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said to Ali, "What did you say when you declared your Hajj?" He said, "I said, oh Allah, I declare a Hajj similar to what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to do, or as what he declared to do." And this means that it is permissible to say, "Oh Allah, I am performing the same Hajj of so-and-so." But when you know that so-and-so is doing Hajj Tamattu, you cannot say, "Oh no, I thought he's doing Hajj Ifrad." No. It's finished. Khalas. You have to do it. You have to do it. But if you found so-and-so is doing Hajj Ifrad and said, no, I thought you're going to do Tamattu, yes, you can upgrade it to Tamattu, but you cannot downgrade. No downgrade. "Oh, I don't have money to slaughter." You will have to fast. You will have to fast. So, it is permissible to do a declaration of Hajj as so-and-so. And then he said, the Prophet ﷺ said to him, then you have to stay in your state of, in your haram, in the state of haram, until we slaughter the Hajj. And he ﷺ joined him in the Hajj of Rasulullah. What does that mean? You can't donate for someone. You can't donate. Someone who wants to perform Hajj Tamassu, but he doesn't have money to buy sheep to slaughter. You say to him, no, this is permissible. Because Rasulullah ﷺ joined Ali. Ali didn't bring his own. And that's why Rasulullah ﷺ did not tell him, you brought your Hadi, you will have to do Hajj, Qiran, like me. As he told the Sahaba, when he gave the khutbah, he said to them, anybody of you brought his Hadi must remain in his ihram. But he did not tell Ali, because Ali did not bring his own. He brought what Rasulullah ﷺ told him to go and bring for him. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam joined him. He said, okay, I'm going to give you a share. And it was the total number of camels that Rasulullah sallam brought from Medina and what Ali brought from Yemen were 100 heads of camels. So when it was the day of Tarwiyah, they all moved to Mina. From where you are staying in Mecca, you put on your ihram if you are mutamakka. And the people of Mecca, people who are living in Mecca, working or whatsoever, they can perform their ihram from there. They don't need to go out to Masjid Aisha or Tan'im or, no, they don't need. From where they are. And so they declared the Hajj from the place called Al-Fatha, meaning on the way to Mina. They said, Labbaik Allahumma Hajjah. So Rasulullah ﷺ, at that time, he entered the tent of Aisha, and she was crying. He asked her, why? What's happening? She said, what's happening? Everyone is going now, everyone has come out of the Ihram of Hajj, of Umrah, and they become halal. And now they go with, they go for Hajj now, in the 8th of the Hajjah. And I go with them, but I go with one ritual. I go with Hajj only. I did not do Umrah. He then, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said to her, because of the message, as you remember, he said to her, well, this is something Allah Ta'ala has written for the daughters of Adam. And this, some people say, daughters of Hawa, of Eve. That's wrong. We don't link the children to the woman except if they are, except if they are what? Children of zina, only. But if they are legitimate children, we link them to their fathers, not to their mothers. Now, even the wives. Even the wives. My wife cannot be Madame Malki, this is wrong. She must stay. They don't want no one to know who is legitimate, who is illegitimate, so they all link to the mother. That's wrong. Now, in Islam, before Islam, there was everyone to his father. Opposite of what there was today. Islam came, Islam put the dust on the letter. If it is a legitimate child, to the father. A legitimate child, to the mother. So we can know who is who. And this, no blame to the child. Now, then he said to her, do like everyone of the Hajj does. Except for that, you do not make tawaf, you do not pray. That's it. But she can't make sa'i, she can't stone, she can't go to Arafah, no problem. And then he moved to Mina and prayed there Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, and Fajr the next day, the night. He did not combine between any two prayers in that day. He prays every prayer in its time, but he shortened it. The Dhuhr two rak'ah, Asr two rak'ah, Isha two rak'ah. Now, Maghrib and Fajr, he did not shorten. And then, when he prayed Fajr, he remained in Mina until the sun was rising for a while. Then he moved and he commanded someone to go before him to Arafah and build up a tent there for him in Namira. In Namira. And Namira is out of Arafah. There are boundaries today. So he remained there. He remained there. Up until when he moved, Quraysh were looking, saying that, oh, now he is going to do like what they used to do. What did they used to do? People of Quraysh, they did not used to go with all the Hujjaj, the rest of the Hujjaj to Arafah. They stay in Muzdalifah. And everyone has to go to Arafah. And when they come back to Muzdalifah, they remain with them and they all go back to. So the Hajj of Quraysh was Mina, Muzdalifah, that's it. Everyone else, Mina, Muzdalifah, Arab. Or Mina, Arab, and then Muzdalifah. So they thought Rasulullah is going to do like that. But he, Rasulullah, did like what his father, Ibrahim, did. So he moved, he crossed Muzdalifah. He went to Arafah until it was the time for Dhuhr. He moved until he came to the valley of Namira, the valley of Urqa, the valley of Urqa. And there he gave the khutbah, and that is the part of the masjid which is inside Arafah. Today the masjid itself is of two sides. And you see the sign, half of it in Namira, which is out of Arab. You can stay there until there's no problem. But the other half, where the Imam stays, Urana, which is part of Arafah. So from after door, people can stay there. But he, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, did not even stay there. He gave the khutbah, he prayed there. With one adhan and two iqamas, he joins Dhuhr and Asr at the time of Dhuhr, and he shortens Dhuhr to Turaqa and Asr to Turaqa. And then he moved to the mountain, which is known by the mountain. At that khutbah, at that place, he gave a khutbah, service. And he said in that khutbah, verily your blood, your wealth, are forbidden for you, exactly like this day is forbidden for anyone to do anything wrong in it. Exactly like this month is forbidden. Exactly like this place, this land, is forbidden. And then he said, is from the Jahiliyyah time must be ended now. No one to kill no one as a revenge for what happened in the Jahiliyyah time. And then he said, and the first blood I is the blood of his cousin Al-Harith, the child of Rabi' ibn Harith ibn Abd al-Muttalib. Harith ibn Abd al-Muttalib is his uncle. His son Rabi'a had a child born and was sent to Bani Sa'd, where he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was sent as well when he was a child, a baby, for breastfeeding. So this child of Rabi'a ibn Harith was also sent to Bani Sa'd for breastfeeding, and Hudayl attacked Bani Sa'd and they killed this baby, maybe by mistake. So he said, this must be dropped. And then he said, and the riba, which is inherited from the Jahiliyyah, must stop now. And this does not mean that the riba after Islam is allowed. No, it means riba must stop. And he said, the first riba I drop is the riba of ours. The riba of Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib, his uncle. And then he said, fear Allah when you treat your wife or women at all, and in these wives, as he said, as you have taken them by the trust of Allah. Meaning the people trusted you because you came in the name of Allah as a Muslim who wanted to marry. And you had made their private parts permissible for you to use by the word of Allah. When you gave the word of Allah, when you say, by in the name of Allah, I want to marry this woman. Upon the Sharia of Allah, I want to marry this woman. So now, you have to fear Allah, you have to respect this. Remember, before you said this, you could not have touched this woman. Now, not only that you have enjoyed it, by what? By this promise you gave. By this word you have spoken. So if you like her, alhamdulillah. If you don't like her, don't oppress her. Don't oppress her. Don't hit her. Don't insult her. Don't treat her like a slave. No. This woman was like a pearl before you come and know her. So you have to keep her like that. You do not destroy her. You do not destroy her morale. You do not destroy her personality by insulting her. That's not good. That is haram. And remember that Allah will defend her. So, Isa said, and what they have to maintain for you is that they will not allow no one to come into their homes except with your permission. Except with your permission. Now, and this does not mean necessarily mean every individual every time. No, but if they know that you don't like so and so to come, so they don't allow him or her, but him if he is from the Mahari. Like her uncle, like her father, her grandfather, like her nephew, like that. Now, and if they do, and if they do so, and if they allow someone you don't like without your permission, then you can't beat her, but ضَرْبًا غَيْرْ مُبَرَّحٍ. In Arabic, ضَرْبًا غَيْرْ مُبَرَّحٍ means you beat her in a way that make her feel pain, a little pain, but not to harm. Not to harm. Not like what I hear of the Westerners, the boxer. The bus. Many Westerners, mashallah, when they were in Jahiliyyah, they used to say boxing and lift weights, and now they want to practice that. And subhanAllah, with this weak creation, woman is weaker than glass. If you just say two words, she collapses crying. How come the buncher? Allah musta'an. That punch and kick and come with sticks and subhanAllah. That's bad. I have a belief. I may be wrong, but I have a belief. Who does this is not a man. He's not a man. He should not have his beard and mustache. He should not have it. He should remove it. He should remove it and wear a beard. Because he's a woman. He's not a man. Man cannot do like that. Man cannot do like that. No. The what? Who's that? Who's that? Now, and he said that you will have also to maintain them food and clothes. And you spend on them bil ma'roof, meaning like what everyone and the same level of yours spend. Now, and he said, I have lived amongst you, what if you grasp, what you hold, you would never be misled. The book of Allah, and you are going to be asked about me. What are you going to say? The companions immediately said, we witness that you have conveyed the message of your Lord, and you have performed your duty, you have advised your ummah, and you have done everything that Allah Ta'ala told you to do. He Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam raised his index finger to the heavens, and then he pointed to them saying, oh Allah, be witness, oh Allah, be witness, oh Allah, be witness. Then Bilal called the Adhan. So this means that the khutbah of Arafah must be before Salah. And it is one khutbah. It is not two. Even if it is the day of Jum'ah, because this was on a Jum'ah day. The Arafah of Rasulullah was on a Jum'ah day. So he did not pray Jum'ah. But he gave the khutbah, one khutbah, and then he prayed the Dhuhr and Asr. And this means that Asr cannot be joined to Jum'ah, cannot be combined to Jum'ah. Different opinions, but the strong opinion of majority of the scholars that you cannot join, if you pray Jum'ah, you cannot join Asr to it. For example, you go to Medina anytime, and on Friday in the Jum'ah you want to move, and you want to pray Jum'ah in the Masjid Nabawi, no problem, that's good. But don't join Asr to Jum'ah. And after Jum'ah, you stand up and pray two rak'ah Asr, and you say, I'll move to Jeddah. No, that's wrong. That's wrong. You will have to pray Asr next time. If you pray Jum'ah. Now. Otherwise you can leave and pray on your way, Dhuhr and Asr, no problem. But you do not pray Jum'ah if you want to join. Or you do not join if you pray Jum'ah. Then he said, so he prayed Dhuhr and Asr together, and he did not pray any optional prayers between them. Nawafil. No nawafil. And then he got his camel, Al-Qaswa, and he moved to the mountain. He moved to the mountain which is called Jabal al-Rahma. Mountain of al-Rahma. This is wrong name. It is called Jabal al-Ilal. Ilal. But the Awam call it Jabal al-Rahma. But it is called Jabal al-Ilal. Now, he says, when he came there, he remained on his camel and faced the camel and himself towards the Kaaba. And he raised his hand, look now, from that time, from after Dhuhr until the sunset. He was standing in the, he was staying in that position, sitting on the camel, raising his hand like this, supplicating, holding the rope of the camel. But because it was a long time, he became weak, so the muscles become weak, and the rope dropped. He did not put both hands down. He kept one up, and he got the rope with the other one. All the time. Today what they do? Talk, call, joke, sleep. I don't know what Hajj is that. So, and some people go to the mountain and climb up. There is no need to climb up the mountain. There is nothing above the mountain. Then he, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when the sun set completely, he got Usama, he said then, I have stood here. But all the land of Arafah is the place for standing in the day of Arafah. And then, when the sun disappeared, he got Usama ibn Zayd behind him on the camel and moved. And he said to the people, As-Sakina means calmly, calmly. Do not go fast, slowly. Do not push one another. Today, the Hujjaj, they keep pushing and encouraging the driver of the coach to go fast and to turn here this way. This. Don't allow this car to go. This. And it's like racing. That is wrong. That is not the way of Rasulullah SAW. He said, Sakina, Sakina. Slowly, slowly. And he pulled the rope of the camel until he turned the neck of the camel. Till that the camel used to head where his and his feet were. And that's to make the camel move very slowly. And today people, instead of telling the driver to move slowly, they tell him, they command him, they shout at him to move faster. And that's wrong. And they come complaining. We got to Muzdalifah 2 a.m. No problem. 2 a.m. or whatever. No problem. You've done your that first or early. So he saw, told him that. And then he came to Muzdalifah, Eid Maghrib and Isha, with one adhan and two iqamah, and he did not pray anything optional between them or after them. And he right away went to sleep. He slept up until Fajr. But today people, they stay or spend nights talking, joking, eating, queues and toilets, and subhanAllah. One night is as long as 1 year. They tell me to be like that. They could have said everything that they can say in here. And they speak about everything. And that's wrong, you know? So that was the first khutbah, the first part of the khutbah. And in the second part, we continued saying that when Isa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to Muzdalifah, he prayed Maghrib and Isha with one adhan and two iqamahs, and he did not pray anything optional between them. And then he slept right away from then until Fajr. And when the Fajr appeared, he prayed Fajr with one adhan and iqamah, with the adhan and iqamah, and then he got on his camel Aswan and he came to Al-Mash'ar. Al-Mash'ar al-Haram is a small mountain in Muzdalifah where the mosque is today. And he climbed over the Mash'ar then, climbed with the camel, and because it is a small head, not a real mountain like the one in Arafah. So he got on the mountain and he faced the Kaaba, praised Allah, and he did takbir, tahleel, etc. and dua. He raises his hands and make dua until it becomes morning, but before the sun completely rise. It's only the white light appears. So he moved. And he said, I stood here, and all Muzdalifah is a place for standing. And then he moved before the sunrise, and at this time he got Al-Fadl ibn al-Abbas, his cousin, with him on the camel. And Al-Fadl was a very handsome young man. So when they moved, some women came running, young women. And maybe they were running because they wanted to see Al-Fadl, because he was very handsome. Some of the ulama say that this is a proof that women do not cover. Who said so? Where in the hadith it says that they showed their faces? They say because Al-Fadl was looking to them. They were young. Maybe Al-Fadl was attracted to their bodies. Okay? And the Prophet ﷺ was turning the face of Al-Fadl. And this is a fitna. And he was seeing Al-Fadl is about to be in this fitna. So if these women were uncovered their faces, he ﷺ would have told them, cover your face. Because he saw the fitna. How come Rasulullah ﷺ will let it go like that? Now, and if he, there are a lot of proofs in this. He ﷺ turned the face of Al-Fadl. So he can turn the face of Al-Fadl, but he cannot turn the faces of the people. The whole people in there. And he did not shout and tell people, do not look to this woman. Because those women were covering their faces. But young woman running, so it's a kind of attraction. And they run. They were running, they run. So he did not, and he turned the face of Al-Fadl Ibn Abbas. Now, and then he came to Muhassir. Muhassir is the valley where Allah Ta'ala destroyed Abqa. It is between Muzdalifah and Mina. It is not from Muzdalifah, it is not part of Mina. It's an empty place, no tents. If you see today, when the Saudi government connected the tents from Mina to Muzdalifah, this place is not connected. All the other sides connected. Except for this, you will see a space with no tents. Why this is called Wadi Muhassir? Wadi Muhassir and any other places where Allah Ta'ala torched disbelievers, people should go fast. They should not go there and enjoy and go, you know, like what they do in Madain Salih or Thamud. MashaAllah, very nice place. No, that's wrong. That's wrong. Yeah. So he saw Sallam in Muhassir, he moved his camel. Although he said to them, slowly, at this time he moved faster. Why? Because this is the place where Allah charged the kuffar. And he moved faster and he said, Sakina, Sakina, slowly, slowly. But slowly, please don't push each other, but move fast. Move faster. And then he took the middle way which leads to Jamratu al-Aqab, al-Jamra al-Kubra. So when he came to the Jamra, which used to be by the tree, today no tree. Now, so he stoned it in the Buha time with 7 stones. He used to say Allahu Akbar with every stone. And the size of the stone was as the size of the stones for Khazr. Khaz in Arabic is the action that when you put a stone in between the index fingers and you throw it like this. That is in Arabic called Khaz. So, see what the stone that you can put in here and shoot very well. Yes, you can put a big stone, but it cannot shoot well. It must be a good size that you can shoot well with it. So he stoned it while he was on the camel. He did not come off the camel. What does that mean? It's permissible to stone on the car, on the bus, no problem. No problem. And he said to the people, take your rituals of Hajj from me, as I may not perform Hajj next year. Jabir says, but in all the other days, he stoned only after the sun moved from the zenith. Meaning, at the dhuhr time. After, yani, when the dhuhr time and after that. Not like the day of Nahar. And those who say give permission to stone before that, today there is no reason for that. It didn't used to have a reason, because stoning is allowed until sunset for those on the 12th, before they move to Mecca. And for the remaining people, up until Fajr. So, today, there are, as you know, 5-floor bridge for the Jamrah. So no way that it can be all full, so people cannot stone. They can't stone if they go in order. So at that time, in Jamrah al-Aqaba, Suraqa ibn Malik, you remember him? The one who stood in the Marwa and said, for what we do, they worship today. He again stood, he found him in Jamrah al-Aqaba, he said, Ya Rasulullah, this mut'ah, this tamattu'ah, joining Umrah to Hajj, for us today alone, I mean for this year alone, or forever? He said, no, forever. Forever. Meaning, it is not obligated upon you to come back for Umrah any longer, anymore, because you have done it. But it is optional. Then he moved. He moved to the slaughtering area. And he slaughtered with his hand 63 camels. And then he gave Ali the knife, and Ali continued what is remaining. And then he said, I have slaughtered here, and all Mina, as well as all Mecca, places for slaughtering. So you can slaughter anywhere. And then he said, he commanded them to bring one piece of meat from each camel of the 100 camels. And he cooked that meat, and he ate from that meat, and he drank from the soup of that meat. Jabir radiallahu anhu said, and then he gave us a sermon again, another sermon that day. And he said, which day is more greater than this? Which day is more greater? They said, this day. He said, which month is more greater? They said, this month. He said, which land is more greater? They said, this land. And then he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, verily your blood. Now, he then said, verily your blood, your wealth are highly forbidden for you. Exactly like this day is forbidden for you, and this land which is forbidden for anything wrong to be done in it, exactly like this month. Now, have I conveyed the message of Allah? They said, yes. He said, then, oh Allah, be witness. And then he got on his camel, and he came to the Kaaba, and he did tawaf al-ifada, and he did not do sa'i between Safa and Marwa. And he prayed Buhur there. And then he came to the tribe of Abdul Muttalib, who were responsible of the well of Zamzam. And he said to them, drunk, all tribe of Abdul Muttalib. Meaning, drank the bucket, drank the water from the well. If it is not that the people going to take it as sunnah and push you and fight you for doing it, I would have drugs with you. But if I do that, everyone will come do it. Will come and do it. Sallam left it for Bani Abdul Muttalib. He left it for them. But he encouraged them by this speech not to stop serving the Hujjaj. And this is for us all, to serve the Hujjaj by any means you can. Anyway, you can't serve the Hujjaj, you serve them. They are the guests of Allah. Now when you have a guest in your house, and you see your child do not serve them, does not give good respect to them, you shower at him. Especially when this guest is somebody who you like much. If you have a sheikh come there, and you are busy, your son did not give him water, you're going to beat your son. Huh? Because you have a guest. So what about the guests of Allah? Why we don't help them? Why we don't, serve them? Now, Jabir radiallahu anhu said, and this was the last of what I could found from the description of Hajj on the hadith of Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But it was reported by many other Sahaba that he saw Sallam return on that day, return back to Mina for the days of Tashriq. And he remained in Mina until the 13th of Dhul Hijjah. In all these days, 11, 12, and 13th, he did not storm before Dhuhr time. He did not storm before Dhuhr time. And this emphasis has importance. Why Jabir would have mentioned that? Why the other narrators would have mentioned that? That he did not storm on the days of Tashriq except after Zenith. Why? It is to tell us, do not storm before that. Do not storm before that. And he, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, used to, once he stormed the first Jamrah, the smallest one, he used to take a side to the right side, face the Kaaba, raise his hand, and make dua. And then he moves to Jamrah al-Wusta, the middle one, and stone it, and then he goes making it to the right hand side and take left. And face the Kaaba, raise his hand, and make dua. But for the Jamrah al-Kubra, the biggest Jamrah, he never had done any dua at there, neither on the 10th of the Hijjah, nor the 11th, 12th, 13th, none of these days he did any dua in there. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, commanded the people that they do not leave Mecca except with tawaf al-wada'ah. Farewell tawaf. And tawaf al-wada'ah is important. So many people think, believe, and give fatawa of that, they can't go back to, for example, Jeddah until it is less crowded, so then they go for Tawaf al-Wada'. Now this is not Wada'. This is not Wada'. Wada' is to say, for example, thank you, goodbye. And this not to be said some days after you left. as is to be said when you are leaving. If you are a guest of someone and you are leaving his house now back to your house or to your town, you do not leave that place until you say, thank you, Akhi, Jazakallah khair, goodbye. You don't leave, escape, and then you come back 3-4 days and say, Akhi, goodbye, I'm going. I'm leaving your house. You have already left it. With no respect. So, no, you have to go and do tawaf al-ifadah. The woman who had menses before tawaf al-ifadah, she will not have to do tawaf al-ifadah. She can go. Because she already done tawaf al-ifadah. Yeah, she will not do tawaf al-wada'. Because she already done tawaf al-ifadah. But, if she had the menses before ifadah, and the menses still with her, until the time that they are leaving, if she can't stay in Mecca, she will have to stay in Mecca until she is free of menses and then do tawaf and go. If she cannot stay in Mecca, then she go, but she will have to come back for tawaf and before any intercourse. So, this was the last of the description of the Hajj of Rasulullah ﷺ. And after that, we had dua. Naam.